Hello and welcome back. This is episode 4 of Send Parenting Balance. I am Katie Walker and I talk all things ADHD, autism, and PDA. Today we are going to go into the most talked about topic on my platform, my TikTok social media platform, and that is PDA. I have so many people asking me so many questions about PDA and I absolutely love it because those of you that know, I have three neurospicy children myself. My youngest, age 7, has PDA. Like many others, of course, we are still sat on a waiting list for the autism diagnosis, so we have no diagnosis of PDA. However, it is something that I have really thrown myself into properly understanding because I have needed to have put in lots of interventions to help him, particularly over the last 2 years. Which means I have had to really try and see the world through his eyes and submerge myself in as much information on PDA as I possibly could. So here I am. I'm going to put all of this information back to you, hopefully in some sort of lovely order so it's easy to understand. It is quite tricky to get your head around PDA. I do think, as a parent who lives with it is one of the toughest challenges to, I guess, understand. And to put interventions in for and takes the most amount of patience. So, I have children that have autism and ADHD. PDA is somewhat different. It's almost a guessing game every single day. What works one day might not work the next. Whereas with autism and ADHD, I feel like what works today will probably work tomorrow. So, PDA parents and carers of children that have PDA tend to be very frustrated and very exhausted, and I am here with you. Hopefully, I can take away some of that frustration, and you might want to have a pad and pen for this one, actually, because if you are dealing with schools, you may get a few nuggets of information that you can take to them in this podcast. So, what is PDA? Well, PDA stands for Pathological Demand Avoidance. I really dislike the phrase. I wish there were some friendlier phrases that would be used. However, this is what we have. So we move pathological demand avoidance. And as you can guess from the title, it is a lot about demands. So what does PDA mean? Well, in a nutshell, it is a persistent resistance to demands, usually found in those with autism. It can impact basic needs like sleeping, bathing, showering, teeth brushing, and eating. It can also impact on going to school or doing homework. It can even impact on fun days out, such as birthday outings, family meals, or holidays. The best way to help a child with PDA is to understand the different demands in everyday life. And this, to me, once I started getting my head around it, blew my mind. So let me just share. So there's three types of demands. Now, we all know what the direct demand is. The direct demand is when you say something to your child, please go and put your shoes on, please pick up your toys, it's time for bed, all of those demands, which I think if you think of how many there are in a day, it is a ridiculous amount. There's also indirect demands, for example, questions that need an answer. What would you like for tea? Or an unsaid expectation, such as when children arrive at school, they know that they need to hang their coat up, they know they need to sit in a certain spot, they know they need to put their lunchbox in the lunchbox rack, and they know they need to order their dinner. All of those things they're probably not asked to do, they probably just know they need to do them. So they're the indirect demands. They've then also got the internal demands, and this is where my little one really struggles, actually. And that's things like hunger, toileting, or wanting yourself to do something. Now, I think the reason this blew my mind, literally, when I started to really understand it, was if you put the direct demands, the indirect demands, and the internal demands, and you started to write them out for the day, oh my goodness, you would have hundreds throughout the day. And children with PDA, as I said at the very beginning, in a nutshell, it's a persistent resistance to demands. So look at all of those demands that they possibly could resist. And now you may be able to understand why it is then so difficult to get through the day and how it's very time consuming and you need to be very flexible and You have to be very, very patient when supporting a child with PDA. So what does refusing a demand, what's a resistance to a demand look like? Let's have a look. So there's loads of different ways children can avoid or refuse demands. You can, we'll start at the top and we'll work our way down. So the one that I have in ha my house a lot is the meltdowns, the anger, and the aggression. This is because they are highly anxious. They absolutely are not happy with the demand, whether it be a direct demand, an internal demand, or an indirect demand. There is going to be meltdowns, anger, or aggression. Next down from that, you could have withdrawal behaviors. So becoming floppy, not responding, running away, being in a fantasy bubble of their own, not hearing you, almost completely switching off to the world that they're in. You could have straight out refusal, like saying no, or worse, words worse to that can happen in my house sometimes. You could have diversion, so giving excuses, making loud noises so difficult that they can't hear what you're saying, so making talking difficult. Perhaps creating a situation that needs immediate attention, for example, knocking a drink on the floor or tipping over a box of Lego. They may also be giving excuses such as, I can't walk, my legs are broken. I have all of those in my house every single day to try and work my way around. And if you have a child with PDA, you too may be listening to this and thinking, yep, this sounds really familiar. It is anxiety led. So it's anxiety of realizing a demand cannot be avoided that creates these responses. When they have these responses, particularly when they are aggressive or there's anger or there's meltdown, this can result in panic and almost get out. It is definitely out of a person's control. So this is where, and this is where it becomes a bit controversial with people that perhaps don't understand PDA versus those that are supporting a child with PDA, is it's not, the child's not in control in that moment. They are so very anxious. So in comparison, if you're really scared, let's take this back. If you're really frightened of a spider and that's created a panic attack, and somebody is there saying to you, but the spider's not going to hurt you, the spider's fine, the spider's not bothered about you, if you just leave the spider alone, if you're in panic and real anxiety, you will be in fight or flight. You will not be able to hear somebody saying to you about the spider. It will just wash over you. And this is what happens with children in PDA. These demands can, if it's resulting in meltdowns, it can create panic and it needs to be dealt with like it's a panic attack, not like it's a behavioural issue. With dealing with it like it's a behavioural issue, is you're then possibly, whether you're maybe telling the child off or perhaps at school they're going on stage five, which is the top stage of the behaviour policy, say, in a way, the child's not aware of that going on. The child doesn't care that because the child can't control it. So it's very unlikely that that's going to help a child change their actions for the next time. And then that's where things start to fall down. I really don't like being in small spaces, and it doesn't matter how many times you tell me it's okay to get in a lift, I'm likely not going to get in it. In fact, you could probably give me £100 and I still wouldn't get in it. So reward wouldn't work either. So can it be diagnosed? This is probably one of the most common questions that I have. So it isn't diagnosable on its own. It can, however, be mentioned within the diagnosis notes of the autism diagnosis, such as he or she has a PDA profile noted. Now, that's what you want to be going for. So if you're waiting for your autism diagnosis, make sure you talk about the PDA side of the autism and that you do get that mentioned in the notes because that is going to help you moving forward. PDA has gained so much criticism for being labelled as naughty behaviour, which is untrue and unfair. I also argue that it's very difficult for professionals, for example, at school, to see the impact of internal demands on a child. And therefore, interventions can be quite poor and information misunderstood. And I can only hope that training improves over time. I do know there's some training courses that particularly staff in education can go on. And I just hope that PDA is understood and given the validation that it truly needs. I genuinely believe that every child with PDA or suspected PDA requires their own behaviour policy. So why does the meltdowns happen, for example? What is the difficulties around demands? Well, evidence suggests, and I've got to say the evidence is quite poor. There's not very much out there. Let's hope that changes with time, that it is anxiety-led and an intolerance of uncertainty. It's also perceived threats to their control over the situation. So how can you help? How can anyone help? Here's some ideas. Things that can help reduce those meltdowns, give a sense of control, lower the anxiety, and change the world full of demands to less demands and more input from everybody, like a shared responsibility of how we're going to move through the day. So, first of all, reducing or removing demands is great. And that comes with just changing the way we speak. For example, I would love to. Wouldn't it be lovely if? Can you show me how to do XYZ? Can you teach me how to do XYZ? Sometimes playfulness works. This doesn't work with my son, but I have heard that it works with some children. So, for example, you could say things like, I'll race you to put your shoes on, or first one to the car wins. Whose teeth are going to be shinier while we're brushing our teeth together? Sometimes that playfulness can really work. Now, all I've done there by rephrasing the sentences and using playfulness is take away the actual demand. So rather than saying things like, go put your shoes on, I'm making it fun and a game. I'll race you to put your shoes on. Or rather than saying, go and tidy up your Lego, I might say something like, wouldn't it be lovely if together we could do this and tidy this room? Body doubling also works really well. And what I mean by body doubling is that you are there doing the task with and alongside the child. So we are literally not making any demands directly. Now, I think this is really important because although this feels like a really big ask, if you look at the indirect demands and the internal demands, they're already going to be there. So, just by taking away one of them, they're still left with loads, 100 or more each day. So you're just making it slightly easier by taking away those direct demands. Changing the hierarchy really works as well. Trying not to be better than or bigger than or the person that is right all the time. You know, we're really moving from you do as I say or else to a more joint approach where everybody's opinions are valued and heard. And if you use this approach with a child with PDA, you will get so much back in return. Going back to those phrases of shall we do this together? I would love to do this with you. It's teamwork, it's a shared experience. When the distressing situations happen, i.e., the meltdowns, of course, they are going to happen occasionally. We can't be prepared for every single demand in life. Try and remove the spectators around you so that reduces the embarrassment for the child afterwards. No different to if you were having an anxiety or panic attack, you would likely rather be with one trusted person than a whole room of people. Trying to avoid eye contact can sometimes work so that they don't feel spoken to, sort of like that demand is right in front of their face. Sometimes you can talk to a child while they're in the room without eye contact. They do need a coordinated support package with school, and I'm going to get to this a bit later and talk about some reasonable adjustments that could be put in a secondary school and also a junior school. But that support package definitely needs to be put in place. It's very unlikely that a child with PDA is not going to have some behavioural issues in school because the demands of school are so high. And these behavioural issues can be minimised and really well supported if you've got that support package already to be used within school. At home, creating a sensory environment or a quiet zone can work really well for them. Here, I have a little bit of a sensory room in my lounge. I've got a spinning chair. I've got a gym ball. I've also got one of those, I want to call them kind of like a seesaw that you just put your feet on, like a wobble board, and it moves from one side to the other side. And this gets used every day. Sensory lights within bedrooms are also a really good and calming idea. Another good idea can be, depending on the age of the child, things like therapy, counselling, mindfulness, and meditation. And these are things that can work on at the anxiety side of the PDA, how we work alongside anxiety, how we can calm ourselves down, what breathing activities we can do, how we're going to approach life in a much calmer manner. Anxiety CBT can help with children, and I have a video of this actually on my website within the video section. It's under fear of germs. I've used it in a way of demonstrating fear of germs and how you would use anxiety CBT to reduce that fear somewhat. My website, www.sendparentingbalanced.com. Okay, so what are the best resources that I can tell you to go to that's going to support you and give you lots of help? Firstly, obviously, my website that I've just spoken to you about, but also other resources such as the National Autistic Society. Now, they have a template letter that you can download and send to professionals if you feel that they are not recognising PDA and they are indeed working with your child. The pdasociety.org.uk again is a fantastic website, and they give you lots of information on PANDA parenting style, which we're going to get to in just a moment. Also, the pdasociety.org.uk give a really good template of an EHCP and the kind of things you should be looking to include on your EHCP if you are already in that process. There is a huge list of interventions on there that professionals should be working alongside. And therefore, if you are working through your own EHCP, it can be quite good and useful to go through and pick out the ones that are relevant to your child. So, what is PANDA parenting? I talk about it a lot on my TikTok platform. I use it at home. I have been using it for a year. It takes a very long time to learn. I am by no means a pro, but it has had great success in my house. So, PANDA, PANDA. The first letter, P, is pick your battles, which basically means minimizing the rules, enabling some choice and control, explaining the reasons behind doing things, and accepting some things just won't happen some days and move on. Some days anxiety will be higher than others, and just because something happened yesterday doesn't mean it's going to happen today. So learning to pick your battles is really, really important. A, anxiety management. Reducing the uncertainty, recognizing the sensory and social challenges, trying to think ahead, and trying to treat meltdowns and behaviors as panic attacks is really useful to try and manage that anxiety. The N, negotiation and collaboration. So keeping calm and also fairness and trust are absolute key. Seeing this as a shared journey with your child, where you are both equal, will really help to move through the demands of the day more successfully. The D is disguise and manage demands. So phrasing demands indirectly, monitoring the tolerance for demands, and also another helpful tip is to body double. So completing things with your child or even just alongside them. The final one, A, adaptation. Trying humour if that works. Role play can sometimes work. Allowing plenty of time is my best and favourite suggestion. Taking a little bit of give and take approach to different demands and things that need to be done, being flexible and always having a plan B. I always usually have a plan A, a plan B, and plan C, and most of the time I'm using plan B or plan C. I rarely actually get to use plan A, but that's okay, we move. So, what may PDA look like in school? Okay, let's go through a little list. What could it look like in school? What are we looking out for? So it could look like a desire to be equal or superior to others. So they see themselves equal to the adults, in fact. It could look like a poor sense of self-esteem. It could look like poor emotional regulation. That would come with perhaps some behavioural difficulties, perhaps meltdowns, sensory seeking, high anxiety. It could look like destroying work, either because it's not quite as they thought it might be, the whole perfectionism part coming in there, or it could be if a teacher had praised the child. Because interestingly, with PDA, even the good things can be seen as demands. So if somebody can praises a child for how amazing their work is or how amazing they're doing, suddenly the demand is that I have to be amazing, and that makes me feel anxious. So I'm just going to rip this up and I'm not going to do it. That can be really common. And that can happen as well on days out. You know, we're going to go to Legoland today. How exciting. And suddenly it's like, well, hold on a minute. That means I'm going to have fun and I'm not feeling in a very good mood. So I'm not going today. So it's not just the negatives, it can be the positives too. And we need to bear that in mind. It could look like a desire for friendships, wanting lots of friends, but also self-sabotaging through the need of being in control and being the expert and telling others what to do, or perhaps needing to win every single time. It could look like extensive fantasy and role play, kind of going into their own little world. It could look like behavior that challenges, such as shutdowns and meltdowns and fight or flight, perhaps lots of running off. It could look like a child that is masking, is very quiet, is slightly withdrawn within school, and maybe they're internalizing everything of the school day. And this can be evidenced by poor emotional regulation once they're home and anxiety before school. And that's why working with parents is absolutely key, because they'll be able to tell you what the behaviors look like before school, but also after school. So, what re reasonable adjustments can be made at school? So, I've gone through a few. I'm going to say it's much easier to do at infant and junior school level because those schools are more nurturing. They are not as big. I think senior school have a little bit of a harder time due to the environment being much bigger, which brings more children and increased sensory difficulties and more change. And of course, at secondary school, each lesson the class changes with a new member of staff, and the rules are far less nurturing at secondary school than they are within junior and infant school, and way more demanding. And I think the expectations at senior school really increase, which for a PDA child can be incredibly exhausting, to say the very least. So, what could we do in a secondary school? Let's start with secondary school. There are still plenty one can do. So every staff member in contact with the child, so every class teacher, needs to know what PDA is and how to support the child. In fact, at your next meeting, you could give the link to this podcast if they don't know. A PANDA approach, which is the approach I spoke to earlier on in this podcast that I use at home, could be mirrored at school as well and mirrored in each class. Giving choice, not demands, is key. So, it gives the child a chance to feel in control. So, learning outcomes can be met even if the task is different. So, they could be given two tasks, and if they match with their special interest, then that's even better. Giving the child control over how they will achieve their learning outcome will lessen the anxiety and encourage achieving and learning and joining in. An individual learning plan will really help with this. So, I would advise that a child with PDA does have an individual learning plan. If a child dislikes writing, you can put other adaptations in, such as, okay, well, you can write on a laptop, that's fine. It's getting creative to trying to achieve your learning objectives, but not necessarily having just one way of getting there. Now, ideally, all children with PDA will have one trusted member of staff who can talk about their learning journey with them as an equal, to enable the child to have some control over their learning, but someone also to feel equal to. This staff member needs to understand the child, their special interests, and also PDA. It's key that this member of staff does not discipline the child, because trust will be lost. That needs to be a different member of staff. And this member of staff needs to open up communication and get creative with the child, enabling them some control in their own learning journey. It's interesting, children can come up with some amazing learning ideas when given half the chance. Picking lessons that work is really important. Do we really need to battle attending PE or Spanish if the child is attending English, Maths, and Science? Does it matter if they go to the library instead? In PE or in Spanish. It's not, or it shouldn't be, do as I say or else. It should be more of a, this is your learning journey, let's figure it out together. This is the point we need to get to. These are our targets, these are our learning outcomes. Help me to help you. How are we going to get there? We're going to get there together. And you will have a much better response with a child with PDA if you take that approach. Obviously, as I've said, getting rid of those demands, changing have you, can you, will you, and switching them for shall we, I'd love to, wouldn't it be great if, can you show me? A quiet room is important within the school. That could be the school library, or some senior schools have like a send classroom that the child can just go to whenever they need to. Using a green card is a good way to do this in class. So they could have a green card, they could show it to the teacher. It's pre-agreed that the child can leave class at any time, and this will make the child feel less trapped and anxious and more in control. Now, interestingly, when I've mentioned that intervention before, a lot of people will come back and say, oh my goodness, they'll just leave class all the time. They'll just never be in there, they'll be wandering around. Actually, you'd be surprised if all of the other aspects are put in place and this child feels respected and trusted. What might happen, or what usually happens, is they will just use the card as needed and they will go and find a quiet place to sit. And actually, if you give them a chance, you'd be surprised at what amazing things can blossom. Giving a child a little bit of control over where they want to work is also a really good idea. Does it really matter where they're working if the outcomes are met? So, for example, if a child can complete their maths independently, but they want to sit in the back of the English classroom because they really like the English teacher, is that really a problem? I think picking our battles, the answer should be no. This child would also need an individual behaviour policy. The staff member is really important. Now, I know we don't have huge control over this, but if you have a staff member that has lots of demands and the expectations are high, and they are shouting or they are very firm throughout the class, it's very unlikely a PDA child will want to go and sit in that lesson. Whereas, if you've got a staff member that speaks very calmly but clearly, is firm but fair, then that has far better outcomes. Now, within junior school, the interventions are very similar and they can be adapted from senior school to junior school. So, things like individual behaviour policy and an individual reward chart is really important because some children, like my own, don't deal with praise very well. Changing those demands again from can you, will you, have you, to shall we, can you show me, I'd love to. A choice of task, again, really important. Turning things into jobs can really help, and making things fun can really help too. That key staff member with that joint trusted learning journey. Understanding of PDA approach and the PANDA approach for the member of staff working with the child. But there's some extra things that can be done. Lego therapy within junior and infant schools. This really promotes taking turns, playing games, playing alongside others, and can help children learn social skills and interact with others safely with an adult helping and almost facilitating that play. And this is where junior school and infant schools can really come into their own because therapy sessions such as Lego therapy work very well with a child with PDA because a child with PDA can really struggle out on the playground and at playtimes. They can really struggle in their social world, and this can then impact on their learning. Also, a fight or flight space would be really good for a child with PDA in junior school and infant school. So, an agreed area where if it gets too much for that child, rather than perhaps having this outburst in the middle of the class, this child is free to leave the class and go to a bounce zone or a sensory room or the Senko's office. There will be someone there with that child to help to talk through the issues and to help with emotional regulation. I really hope that this is a good introduction to PDA. I could talk about PDA all week long, and I hope it's armed you with some reasonable adjustments that you could possibly take to school and some extra resources that you can look up if you need help. I hope you have a beautiful day, and I hope today you are kind to you. Please don't forget to check out www.sendparentingbalance.com for more information, help, and of course, all importantly, support that matters on topics such as autism, ADHD, and PDA.